Hi, and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, spirit-led church based in Sydney, Sutherland Shire. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you. And on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
Why don't you just close your eyes for a moment, just surrender your heart afresh. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, recently, Andrew and I went away for just a night away, the first since we've had children. And on our wedding day, he gave me a pearl bracelet that he had sent to the place that I was getting ready for our wedding. So before I walked down the aisle, I had this bracelet from him. And it was really beautiful. And just when we went away for this this night away, first one we've had with our kids, I thought, I'm going to wear this bracelet. It's so sentimental to me. It means a lot. He gave it to me. And I was just killing some time while he was doing some work. And the bracelet snapped apart. And all 25 of those beautiful pearls that I cherished so much just fell to the ground. And I was scrambling and trying to pull them all together and like put them in whatever I could find, this shoddy, manky, crumpled up little bag, shot those pearls in. And the jewelry store he bought it from was actually really close to where it all happened. And with that crumpled up bag, my efforts of dragging everything into that bag from those pearls, I walked into that shop. I was sweaty. I was a bit disheveled. I was worried about what Andrew would think about what happened to the gift he gave me. And I just handed over that bag of pearls to that shop. And it was full of treasure. Millions, I reckon, millions and millions and millions of dollars worth of diamonds and pearls and precious metal. And I, here am I with my manky bag of pearls that had fallen off a bracelet. And I handed it over, and the lady at the special services counter said to me, "No questions asked, no problem, just give them to me. I'm going to make them new and I'm going to give them back." And I just see tonight, before we get into the word, I just think God is just bringing new levels of surrender right now. And you know, he it's funny, he doesn't ask much, but he does ask for your whole self. He asks you to hand it over. He asks you to hand over your heart, your time, your finance, your desires, stuff to do with your sexuality, stuff to do with whatever your life contains at the moment. Surrender is the handing over of that crumpled bag full of pearls that, you know, mean something to you. And that thing meant something to me. But as I handed it over, that lady, no questions asked, no judgment. She didn't even ask me how it was done and ask me to. She just said, like, just give them to me. I'm going to make them new. I'm going to do something with that thing, and you're going to get that back and it'll be brand new. And so I just feel, before I get into the word, there are people here, and even over this 2020 offering, you're really freaked out. And your heart is just, you know, God, I don't know how to approach this thing. I don't know what to do here. This may be the first time you've given, and it's a really freaky thing for you. And I just want to encourage you tonight, would you just hand it over, whatever God's put on your heart that you're afraid of. And I reckon there's people in here that know what God's asking of them. They know deep in your heart, you pretend, oh, am I hearing him, am I not? You're hearing him, okay? You know what he's asking. And I just want to break the fear around it in Jesus' name and just say, you know, just surrender it, surrender it. He's going to take it and make it new for you and make it amazing. You will never regret it. That is my testimony. That is the testimony of my life. You'll never regret it. And I just see too, there is people here tonight and you've come, and maybe it's your first time in church or first time in a long time, and maybe your life feels like that bracelet, like this junked up thing that meant a lot to me, but it fell apart, and your life is, you feel like it's falling apart. And I'm just saying tonight, Jesus is going to do something with that life of yours. He's going to do something, but it does require a surrender. Because I tell you what, Tiffany & Co., because it was a Tiffany & Co. bracelet, could have done scrap all with that thing unless I handed it over. They wanted to, they're leaning into it. They didn't ask questions, they didn't want to judge me, but they did need me to hand it over. That bracelet did need it to be handed over. In all its embarrassment, the manky bag I had it in, I just had to hand it over and surrender it. So right now, Lord Jesus, as the word goes out, God, I just thank you, God, that it is going to be like pulling back arrows of fire, God. And I just see hearts being hit in Jesus' name. And I see surrender coming, sweet surrender, God. I just thank you, God, for those that are holding something back, thinking, look, God, that you're going to hold back from them. I just declare that no good thing do you withhold. And Lord, I just thank you, God, that, Lord, it's such a lie, God, that there's anything outside of you that's good. And just as Stacey sang, one day, God, in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere, God. Being a doorkeeper in your house is better than hanging out where you're not, God. And so for every person here tonight, in Jesus' name, I just thank you that the anointing of God would melt your heart right now, that you would find a place of surrender where you've struggled this week and vacillated between one position or another, that tonight you would click into that sweet flow, the sweet flow of grace that says, Jesus, take it all. We adore you. I just give it all to you tonight. Thank you, God. We just give you this night, Holy Spirit. We give you this night. We just give ourselves over to you tonight to do what you would do in this short time in this room. So much could impact a lifetime. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Why don't you find your seats? Thank you. Thank you, worship team. I could keep you up here all night. You're amazing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Very good. Yeah, we are in our 2020 Vision Offering Day. And I know that this sounds really funny, but I think because I've been in church life for so long, I just know how powerful these moments are and how life-changing they are. And so I just want to encourage you, I'm not going to be at all offended if the Holy Spirit speaks to you right now through the time I'm preaching, the gift card sitting on your seat. And later on, my husband actually tonight is going to explain that gift card. But if you just want to, you know, if something's on your heart and you've got to just get that out as an act of surrender, I'm not offended. Seize the moment. And I just know too that a whole lot of people have participated this week online. And you know, we just want to honour your participation in this moment too. You're right here with us on a Sunday. It's just a really convenient way and a planned way actually to participate in what's going to be a really life-changing offering, I believe. Are you good? I want to talk to you tonight about treasure. Who likes that? Without a word of a lie, that's exactly what happened to that bracelet that I shared, that little word for some people here. And I walked into that shop and it was literally a treasure trove. And tonight I do want to talk about treasure, and I want to talk about two very short stories. They literally fit two verses of the Bible. And they're both very, very unique, but they reinforce one another. They're really important. And both talk about a collision of destiny that happens in the life of every human being when it comes to what matters. That really, it is the question, it is the collision when we collide with the purposes of God. Will we give all? Will we surrender everything to gain what could never actually be bought? It's the biggest lie that you buy the kingdom of God or you somehow earn it, because you collide with it and you decide, will I surrender to this thing that is so incredible and so valuable? So tonight I want to read to you out of these two stories. So Matthew chapter 12, verse 44 and 45. It's amazing how two little verses can contain a lifetime of wisdom. So it says, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, and when Jesus uses that language again, it's like, hey, these are connected, okay? Different characters, maybe different setting, but hey, again, I want to reinforce to you, if you've got ears to hear, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. And these two stories, these little tiny microcosms in the Word of God, are two very different ones. And usually we can relate to one
or another. Every single person in this room could relate to one or the other. The first one is of a man who finds a hidden treasure, and he wasn't looking. He wasn't actually looking for treasure. He probably wasn't looking for treasure at all. He was probably working on someone's farm. And he's probably poor, probably a manual laborer, and he's just in the everyday kind of day-to-day life of his working life, he stumbles across this hidden treasure. And look, if we're talking ancient times, it wasn't unusual to find a cache of treasure in the ground. I mean, let me put that a better way than what I've just said. It wasn't unusual that people would hide treasure. It was like an ancient banking kind of facility, so to speak. And so particularly in times of where your nation might be raided, and it was a way of safeguarding your treasures. In fact, if you look at the copper scroll in the Qumran cave, it details where lots of caches of treasure are hidden to document. So if people needed to go back, they could find it. And when he found, when this worker found this treasure just in his day-to-day, he's like, oh my goodness, I cannot believe what I've stumbled across that I didn't expect to find, I didn't expect to discover. I'm going to bury it, and I'm going to legitimately buy this field so that I can access that treasure, because the field doesn't belong to me. The second story, very different, but Jesus is saying, again, I'm trying to make the same point to you about the kingdom of God. The second one is the merchant who finds the pearls as a result of a quest. So he is on a search, where the first guy is literally, oh my goodness, I've discovered a trove of treasure. The second guy, assuming they were guys, I think it is, he comes across it as a result of a quest, and he realizes this is a once in a lifetime opportunity. I've been on a search, and suddenly everything I've been looking for and more has materialized in my world. And so it exceeds all other pearls. Like, literally, you couldn't give enough pearls to purchase this thing. It's incredible. And so he too seizes the opportunity and purchases the pearl that exceeds all other pearls. There's a lot of interesting contrasts in this. One is probably poor, one is probably rich. One discovers accidentally, one is searching. But both are just in their everyday lives living life on planet Earth. So every human being does this. And when they make this life-changing discovery, they change everything. One sells all, one sells everything, the scriptures say, in what is the bargain of a lifetime. And can I just say, Matthew says, this is just like the kingdom collision that happens in every single life. This is what the kingdom of God is like. And by that I mean literally the rule and reign of Jesus Christ in someone's life. Literally, Jesus having his way in your life so that he can bring life to you. Not to dominate you and control you and contain you, but actually when Jesus gets a hold of things, when his kingdom comes in your life, life pours into you, peace pours into you, healing pours into you. It is not a containing thing, but literally this thing, when it gets a hold of you, you collide with it, just like the pearl searcher, merchant, just like the person working on the land. You will at some point, if you haven't already, have a collision with the kingdom of God. And some of you, maybe you encountered the kingdom already and it was an unexpected discovery. Someone brought you to youth and on a Friday night, and suddenly you just felt this power and this presence that you hadn't expected to feel, and your whole life changed that night. Maybe for you, you have been searching everywhere. You've maybe searched other worldviews. Maybe you've tried the corporate life and it just has not been fulfilling for you. And you collided with the kingdom of God, and somehow on the quest that you are on, you found the answer above all answers and your life changed. Can I just say, salvation happens in an instant. The minute that you say yes to Jesus Christ, you go from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son he loves. It is a transition of kingdoms. You don't work for it. You don't learn enough for it. You don't read enough for it. You don't do enough charity work for it. You literally are plucked out of one kingdom. It is a divine rescue. But can I just say, once Jesus Christ gets a hold of you, once you let the gate of your life open, once you literally say, I surrender, the white flag is up, He wants to get in there, and it becomes a progressive lifetime work of Him influencing every single area of your life. Your direction, your thinking and what you believe around certain matters, your affections and what you love, your time and your finance. He takes control of those things, your relationships and decisions you make with your sexuality. We get salvation instantly, but literally the kingdom of God increases in our life. He must increase. We must decrease. We must surrender because He has so much life that He wants to give you, but it comes with surrender. And each one of us is faced with the question, just like that pearl merchant, just like the man that bought the field, we're faced with the question, what will we value most? What will we actually ultimately treasure and sell out for? Will it be my little K kingdom of all the things that I think matter? Or will I surrender my life to a much, much greater kingdom, the kingdom of Jesus Christ, who is the only one that can bring life and peace and transition me out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light? Or will we so consumed with His grace that we surrender our entire lives in the pursuit of His kingdom? And tonight, I'm actually going to explore this opportunity to literally surrender it all, to actually literally let the kingdom of God increase in you tonight. And I just want to talk about the exchange of a lifetime. It is not a fair exchange. It's not even rational. It makes no sense. And we give all, but we get so much more in return. It's not why we do it. We become enamored. We fall in love with His grace. And there is a great exchange that takes place. So you ready? First thought is, if you've seen it, if you've truly seen it, you'll want it. If you've truly seen the kingdom of God, you'll want it. My proposition tonight is if you don't want it, I don't think you've truly seen it. I don't think you've truly seen His goodness. You know, Andrew and I, as is the way of many couples, we actually broke up while we were dating. I'm not wishing it on you. I think it's a much smoother path than what we took. But he said with all confidence and love in his voice, when we broke up, you'll be back. Can you believe that? I know, right? But he was so sure of my love, and he was probably secretly right about that. Don't tell him, so sure at that moment, you'll be back. But it got to New Year's Eve 2013, and Andrew had gone camping with a bunch of mates up north, and he thought he was going to have a great time, recently broken up with the love of his life, with his mates, you know, just... And it got to about halfway through the night, heading towards 12, and he decided, in his own words, why am I wasting time here when I want to be with her? Why am I wasting time, doing this when I want to build a life with her? And so he literally gets in his car, he breaks the sound barrier driving, don't tell anyone related to the Lord tonight, and he goes to a party that I'm supposed to be at that night. But little did he know, I'm just tapping out. I was probably feeling the same. Why am I wasting my time here? Because I really want to be with him. And he finds out I'm not there, and he turns up on my doorstep just before 12 o'clock, literally got 1 minute, tells me he loves me and he wants to get back together. And later that year, we got married. See, he chased me down. He was a man absolutely consumed. And I've got to say, in a very girl kind of way, I was too. I just wanted him to do the chasing. And I kind of like that. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, Jesus ruling over everything, if you've seen how good He is, if you have seen how incredible he is, if you have seen how he changes lives, if you have seen how he heals the sick, if you've seen how he's been working in our ministries, you would pursue him in all areas. You would chase him down in your finances and your resources. You wouldn't wait. You wouldn't be sensible, but you would chase him down with everything in you, his will and purposes. You would seek him to consider who you join your life with. You would seek him and you'd allow him to shape your heart for the marginalized and those that haven't yet been reached with the treasure that you've been reached with. You would know, you'd seek him. You'd pursue him above all else. And the promise that he would give it all to you. You see, the merchant and the person working on the land realized that everything they had was nothing in comparison to that treasure and that pearl that they were seeking. And I want to read to you Matthew 6:33 that says, because this so beautifully sums up what was going on for these two. It says, but put God's kingdom first. Do what he wants you to do. Do what he wants you to do because you can't lose. Do what he wants you to do. Then all these things will be given to you. Do you know, if you have the kingdom, you have everything. You have everything. I feel like in our time though, there is a lack of pursuit on a lot of things. And I just feel like we, though we kind of think we engage, we tip our hat, give a nod to, you know, true dialogue, and we want to just, you know, discuss issues, but we're not really giving ourselves to a search and a pursuit. We'll do our private internet searches. We'll settle for the lie that there's many truths and many positions, and we kind of dilute and dampen down the pursuit of the things that matter. But I just want to say tonight, God has put something in you of pursuit. And it's not rational always. I love how passionate our youth are. There has to be wisdom, but I'm telling you, God has put something in you of crazy pursuit to wrestle with him, to grapple with his will, to hunger for him, and to seek out and explore the depths in him, even on the hard issues. You know, I want to tell you something about yourself. You are a miner for diamonds. You really are. You think you're not, but you are. You are an explorer looking for hidden treasure. It's actually programmed into you, and you're an investigator plumbing the depths of truth. And can I say, one of the greatest ways that we can pursue God is through our worship, through giving. Can I just say that? One of the greatest ways I have found in my life that I can pursue him, that literally I'm saying, God, I'm laying it on the line for you. I'm offering it up in the pursuit of you. I'm worshiping you because he always does require something of us. That's the thing, you know. Like I said, with that Tiffany bracelet, they couldn't fix it, make it new unless I offered it up. And with God, you know, he makes more of it than we could ever imagine. But it has to be surrendered in a pursuit of him. So I want to encourage you. I know tonight so many have come ready to bring their offering in the 2020 vision, and it is the greatest act of pursuit of God, and I want to honor that tonight. Secondly, I want to say discovery is your destiny. Discovery is your destiny. You know, I feel like we can read passages about the mysteries of the kingdom of God and God hiding stuff and the mysterious ways of God and hidden treasure and pearls that are hard to find. And we can think that God is holding out on us. And I've got to say, that has not been my experience, because scripture says no good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. He just doesn't operate like that. He conceals things for us, not from us, because he knows we are changed in the pursuit, and we are actually hardwired to discover. It's our destiny. I had a period of time in my life where I went traveling just for a little while, a couple of weeks, in Eastern Europe. And I went through Poland. I've got a grandfather that came from Poland, and I went along, and I actually took with me his World War II ID. I thought, you know what, I might just look in the archives of the little town that he was in, and maybe I'm going to find something. And sure enough, like, it exceeded my expectation. I actually met living family members. I won't go into that tonight. It was actually incredible, and I did a tour of the village, and I saw graves of my ancestors, my great-grandparents, and so forth. But when I was leaving that village with a sack full of sauerkraut and pickles and stuff that they'd given me, and so next railway station in the bin, I'm not travelling in my bag. sad but true. I do love eating those things. I don't like lugging them around Europe. I got on a train connecting to Krakow, and it was going to Debelin. And I shared this carriage with these two English retired policemen. And they were both passionate about modern history. In fact, they were doing a tour of Poland and aspects of World War II and the Holocaust and stuff. And I thought, I'm just going to... I actually discern their kind of expertise in this area. I'm actually going to ask them a question about this badge that my pop always wore on Anzac marches, and just it was really curious because it was a guinea pig, and it was related to war. How random is that? He wore this gold embossed guinea pig. And so I asked these two guys, you know, you seem to know a lot about war, the Holocaust, a lot about Poland. Can I ask you, my grandfather, who's from here, was in the Air Force and, you know, was active during World War II. And he wore this guinea pig badge on his lapel for a lot of the time. And they asked me this question, which showed their expertise. Did he ever have facial surgery in the war? And I said, well, yes. As a matter of fact, he came down in an incredibly fatal air crash and landed in England because he transferred from Poland to the English Air Force. And he almost died. He survived it, but his face was completely disfigured, like completely blown apart. And he went into hospital and had to have it rebuilt. And they said, say no more. He was treated by a surgeon called Archibald McEnroe. And he was flying over Germany, was he? And I said, I think so. He goes, he was probably on the Schweinfurt run where they used to bomb these strategic ball-bearing factories. And it was a really dangerous route. And many crashes happened on this route. But he was basically put into the hands of Archibald McEnroe in England. It probably was a 12-month process. And he used experimental surgery. And so he basically... gave every person who survived with his treatment and stuff this guinea pig badge. It was like a badge of honour, right? And they're reading his history. And can I just say, it was always there for me to discover. It just took to the age of 32 or whatever it was until I actually embraced the search that I could discover what was there all along. And can I just say, in God concealing or hiding kingdom treasure, he's not hiding it to keep it from us. He's concealing it for us. He's actually concealing it for our discovery. You know, discovery is actually our destiny. And when it comes to this pearl merchant and this worker on the land, I would think the Bible would say this to them. The first would be to the land worker, Isaiah 65 verse 1. It says, I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. To a nation that did not call my name, I said, here I am, here I am. You know, God is a revealer. Yes, he conceals mysteries for us to discover and be changed in the process. But can I say he is a great revealer of mysteries to those that often don't even set out to discover them. And to the pearl merchant, I reckon he'd say, Isaiah 55:1, come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, because you've got to come. And Jeremy, if you could come up now, that'd be awesome. Come. Come if you're thirsty, come to the waters. You who have no money, come and buy and eat. Come and buy wine and milk without money and without cost. How do you buy when you've got nothing? Well, you bring yourself, don't you? You bring yourself in an act of surrender because he wants to be found and discovered by you. You know, our offering, he's not wanting to conceal his grace from you as you bring your offering, as you take a risk, as you obey the promptings of the Holy Spirit that he's put in your heart this week, tapping on the doors of your heart, asking you, will you trust me with that amount? Would you step out for the first time? Would you do maybe something that doesn't feel safe, it feels risky, but it's an act of faith and trust? He doesn't want to conceal it. He actually wants to reveal it in the offering. It is actually as you come that he reveals his goodness, his supernatural provision. You know, we heard a word this morning that was absolutely profound, and I'd say if you missed out because you were doing shift work or something, please download the podcast. It will change your life. But on the other side of that mountain of offering, he will reveal a ram in the thicket for you to discover. He will make sure you discover it as you ascend that mountain, as you bring your offering. He'll make sure you discover it. I promise. The thing is, when we set out to discover, many of us actually ask the question, is it going to be worth it? Is it, can I trust? And I just want to say my journey, and really the thing I want to bring tonight is it is going to be worth it. You know, the all and the everything never, ever compares to him and his kingdom. And never, what we bring, our all and our everything, it never compares to what he wants to do in us and through us. It never compares our all to the campuses that he wants to plant that will change literally thousands of lives. It will never compare to the many that will be healed and restored through our youth ministry. It'll never compare. It'll never compare to what he does with your life when you resign your little K kingdom and you say, God, I just surrender my life for your all-consuming kingdom that is the greatest force for good on the earth. You know, there was a time in my life, in my early 30s, actually not long before or after my trip to Poland, and I really was having a moment with God saying, you know, the sacrifice had been really great. It had been huge. I'd literally split my teaching working week in half, and I was volunteering in ministry days. I took a big financial, you know, decision to place my life in the hands of God and trust him for that, and did that for some years. And I, you know, there's a whole lot of things. There was a sense of frustration. It felt like the fruit was low. That obvious fruit was low. You know, the winds of opposition. I was in a church plant, leading a church plant, and then subsequently leading our young adults at the same time. It just felt like, God, like, I just feel like the fruit I desire to see just isn't in the volume I want to see it. Like, it's a sense of frustration. God, is this worth it? And in this moment of just surrender and bringing my whole self to God, because you've got to be honest with God, haven't you? Like, you don't fake it with God. He can only bless what's real and honest. And I, you know, there is a context for that. And I'm telling you, the prayer closet's a great context for that. Like, just letting him hear what's on your heart. He can see it anyway. And he can only really bless what's real. God, this is how I'm feeling. I ask you to just speak to me. And he said to me, it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. You know, I believe life is a whole journey, but between then and now, I have seen him time and time again come through, reward faithfulness, bless, provide, like exceed expectation in every possible way. And I want to say to you tonight, if you are surrendering, if you're taking a massive step, it's going to be worth it. It is going to be worth it. And whether it's the participation in our 2020 vision offering, or God is putting his finger on an area of your life, and like, God, I just don't even know. I don't have the answers for this. I promise you, I guarantee, if you put it in the hands of God, it is going to be worth it. He's going to make it all turn out. You know, you mustn't think ever that having given it all up, having surrendered your life to him, is what I mean, giving your life wholeheartedly to him for his purposes, that you'll ever think in the future, I want it back, I'm disappointed. It's just not that way. It's just not that way. The kingdom is everything. What he wants to do in your life will change you forever. You know, I just don't think that guy that bought the field and got the treasure ever looked back. I just don't think the pearl merchant that literally gave everything to get that pearl of great price ever looked back and wanted their sacrifice back. It was just too incredible. The worker sold all out of joy because he knew that it would be worth it. David said, better is one day in your court than a thousand elsewhere. You know, I even just get to be a doorkeeper. This is the king saying that. You just know it's true. It's like, if you're saying he's so good, he's so amazing, his kingdom is so all-consuming, God, just give me a place at the door. Peter said, when Jesus said, do you want to leave? And he's like, where would I go? Who else has the words of eternal life? Like, life is in you. Nowhere else. There's nothing that could satisfy like you do. And I just know for so many here tonight, this offering moment represents a mighty pursuit. It's an act of worship that is representative of a deep pursuit of God, a deep surrender. It is representative of really your life. Like, God, this is the substance of what I've spent my time on this year. This promise I'm making to you really is the substance of my faith for the next 12 months. And I just want to say to you, it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. Whether you are bringing the widow's mite, whether God has laid a sum on your heart and you just know it's Him, you've been wrestling it, and it's significant for you. Maybe it's the biggest give you've ever done. It's going to be worth it. This act of worship, God wants to do something profound. So what we're going to do tonight is we're actually going to begin to lean in to that moment of worship, that moment of offering up to God, our 2020 vision offering. And most people here will have prepared for that. Some tonight, I just really believe God has spoken to some, and you were just not planning to participate, but you know the Holy Spirit's speaking to you. And that's brilliant. I love that. It's so brilliant. What we're going to do is begin to lean into that moment. Andrew's going to come. He's going to walk us through preparing for that act of worship. And then Pastor Brad's going to lead us in this incredible moment, an act of worship to God, our offering in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at horizonchurchsydney.com. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.